This is why you, when you travel with your MacBook, you also pack a USB microphone, because you just never know. You never know what conference table you might be sitting at. And have an idea, a thought worth recording, such is today. Having a number of meetings over the course of the last 48 hours or so, so this has been on my mind this week, and this seems to be the way these shows go. It's kind of what's on my mind at the moment. And as I sit here at this conference table, and no, this is not inside the Yellow Studio, unfortunately. Hopefully the sound is sufficient. Here's what's on my mind, because this has been the real world for this week. People who are trying to help businesses, and there are all kinds of people. You know, we are definitely living in a day and age, and we probably have been for the last 20 years, an age of specialization. And the people who have these specialty skills and talents and know-how also bring a perspective based on that know-how. For instance, the copywriter is going to come and sit at the table of any kind of a business scenario, business meeting, to try to tackle some problems that businesses have. And come on, who's kidding who? Most businesses have the same kind of problem, and that problem very typically is we need more business. It can manifest itself in a variety of ways, but when you just shell it all down, it comes down to cash flow, revenue, and profits. So it's all, as you spreadsheet things around, the number that most matters has a dollar sign in front of it and a decimal point, and hopefully some commas in there as well. So the copywriter is going to come and sit at the table, and the copywriter is going to have this perspective, and the perspective is going to be that, well, the sales copy needs to be improved. The copy on the website needs to be improved. The copy in all of the collateral marketing material, that needs to be improved, and the headlines need to be improved, and all the subheadlines need to be improved, all of which, by the way, may be true. And after all, any area of our business can be improved. I mean, I don't care how spectacular your business is or some segment of your business, there's somebody who's doing it better, maybe slightly better, maybe a lot better. So we can always make improvement. The graphic person may sit at the table. The design person may sit at the table and say, well, you know, we really need to up our game in the design. I mean, the design is just, it's a little bit dated. It looks a little bit old, and that would really make a difference. The SEO guy is going to sit at the table and going to talk about all the things that involve search engine optimization. And that's what ails us. That's clearly where the problem is. Everybody who sits at the table brings their toolkit, plops it up on the table, metaphorically speaking, opens their bag and declares, this is what we need to do. It could be argued that the practical reality is all of our businesses need to incorporate some segment of all of that. But there are other people that could argue we need to dive and we need to push all of our chips in the table on one of those. Well, which one? How do you solve these problems? And whether these are internal people or whether these are outside subcontractors, consultants, whatever, these people bring their personalities to the table. They bring their know-how to the table. And I'm including myself, we bring our biases to the table. Now, I'm a real practical guy. One of the strengths that I've had in my business career, aside from being a strategic thinker, is to try to just cut to the chase. And I will tell you that that's not any genius on my part. That was born out of necessity, because when you start your career working in what I would describe as small business, and you don't have big, deep pockets, you've got to make every dollar count. And where cash flow is king and you know it, you learn to act very quickly. You learn to be proactive, and you learn to be crazy fast when you are required to be reactive. There's not a lot of time when you're trying to meet payroll. There's just not a lot, and payroll is like 3 days away. There's just not a lot of time to sit and talk about a bunch of frou-frou stuff and to say, well, what we need to do, you know, if we'll change our copy. You're not going to convince me that if I've got payroll to meet in the next 2 days and I'm up against it, that rewriting some copy is going to make a difference. Because I'm smart enough to know, while it might make a difference and while we might need to improve it, it ain't going to help me in the next 48 hours. So the elephant in the room, as I am wont to say, in this scenario is time. What's the time? And that really kind of helps us focus. Because deadlines, whether we like them, whether we hate them, deadlines are pretty important. Deadlines are, think about your life and think about the deadlines of your life. If when I go and work out at the gym and I see people who are crazy fit, I see people who are crazy out of shape, and all of us who are kind of in between. If the person who I've never seen at the gym before, and they come into the gym and they are clearly obese, if not morbidly obese, I realize, I know the first time I lay eyes on them, as I watch them, that their success is going to hinge on a couple of things, none of the least of which is, do they have some measurable goal? And does that goal include some deadlines? Have you watched this show, this TV show? It's on Sunday evenings. Don't ask me why, but I started DVRing this show. I got quite enamored by it. Can't think of the guy's name who's the fitness guy. He's out of Arizona. And he takes these people that are grossly overweight. I mean, these people need to lose, they need to lose half of their body weight just to get healthy. He takes them on a project for a year, and he sets these mile markers. He sets these goals at the end of 90 days, at the end of the next 90 days, how many pounds for them to lose. And of course, they get on the scale. He's taking these measurements, and these measurements are taken at specified times, deadlines. Now, nobody likes to have a gun to their head. Nobody likes to be painted into a corner, and nobody likes to realize that it's, you know, we've got this deadline, and that deadline is a do or die deadline. But welcome to the world of entrepreneurship. Welcome to the world of not only small business, but sometimes big business. Sometimes we get in these situations and, okay, the cash is running low. The accounts payable is higher than the cash on hand. What are we going to do? And we may sit down, we may look at our Excel spreadsheets, and we may look at our financials, and we may sit across from, if we're fortunate enough to have a CFO, or sit across from the person that's helping us with the numbers, and we have to map out some strategy. We need so much money by this date. If we get so much money in the bank by this date, we're okay. Now, I'm a sales guy at heart, and my roots are in sales. So my bias sitting at the table is I'm going to make this approach because I know from my own experience that it works and that I can make it work. It's possible for us to sell ourselves into a problem. It is. Your business, you can put your business in grave jeopardy through sales. You can do it by pricing too low. You could do it by pricing too high. You can do it by not selling enough. You can do it by overselling. You can do it by selling to the wrong people, saying yes to the wrong deals, all kinds of ways for us to get into sales problems. And any of us with sales experience would happily attest to that. Now, we might not happily attest to our own, but it happens. On the flip side, I could easily make the argument that sales is the answer. Sales is the way to get out of trouble, because that just happens to be my skill set, one of them. And I've been able to sell myself out of a problem because I know that in the next 48 hours, if I have payroll to meet, design's not going to help me. SEO's not going to help me. Copywriting's not going to help me, just to pick three random. But if I can generate some sales, and all of those three things that I mentioned, by the way, have the ability to generate sales, no one would argue against that. My only argument would be, can they get me some sales in the next 48 hours? And I just can't find any rational logic in my head that says yes. Yes, if we change the copy on our website, our sales will vastly improve in 48 hours. Yes, if we change this header graphic, it will mean improved sales for us within 48 hours. If we do this thing or that thing with search engine optimization, we will see an impact in that within 48 hours. I just don't believe that because I've never seen that. Now, maybe you have. I'd like to hear about it. I do know this. If I can convert some prospects to customers in the next 48 hours, and if I can generate some sales, I can figure out, based on that deadline, how many sales do we need? If we need to generate $10,000 in the next 48 hours so that we can make payroll, there's my number. There's both of my numbers. I got 48 hours to generate 10 grand and to do that as profitably as I can. Well, now there's all kinds of ways that you can go about doing that. And no two businesses are quite alike in that approach. Here's the takeaway. And this is what I want you to get out of this. It's not that copywriting, design, SEO, or any number of other activities are not profitable. They are. And you should be embracing them and you should be using them to whatever degree they're profitable. But I do firmly believe in this whole first things first. And I do believe in prioritizing, and I am practical, and I do believe that there are these big hurdles in our businesses. In the scenario I've just painted, it's payroll, and it's payroll that's got to be met within the next 48 hours, within the next couple of days. That's a tall order, and it's my scenario is a 10 grand. That may or may not be a tall order. It depends on what you're selling. It depends on the price point that you're selling, but it's hustle. It's probably two things. It's probably hustle, and it's probably focus. I was reading somebody's blog early this morning when I got up just in my RSS, and someone was talking about how they had started some particular niche 4 years ago. And they talked about how they had kind of fallen in love. They suffered from, what did they call it? They had suffered from buying too many domains. They had a clever phrase for it, a sickness. And who among us hasn't bought too many domain names? I always have a hard time pronouncing that. And they talked about how 4 years ago they kind of set out to tackle this particular niche. And one idea popped in their head and they would go and register a name and another one, and they would register that name and another one, they would register that name. And I think she talked about having built 30 or 40 websites over the course of a couple of years. Maybe all of them great ideas, only to come around 4 years later and cycle back around to the initial idea. And the epiphany was this: what if I would have just registered that first name, my first idea, and invested 4 years in that? Think about how much further along I would be. Well, I don't know about you, but I've had that thought. I've had that thought, and I preach that thought. It's easier to preach than it is to do. I can flat out tell you that. I tell everybody that I consult. I tell everybody that I consult. I'm a huge believer in taking something from start to profit. I'm a huge believer in us putting our focus and our emphasis on the thing that will matter the most, the thing that will most impact us. There are countless illustrations of that. I keep referring to a variety of kind of reality TV shows because, man, they're just so perfect examples. Two in particular, Hotel Impossible and Restaurant Impossible. Here are two guys in their particular niche, one hotels and one in running restaurants, and they go in, and in a matter of hours, in hotel, it's a week, and in restaurant, it's 2 days. And within 2 days, he completely alters the course of a restaurant, tries to, with an investment of $10,000, which is invested in remodeling, sprucing the place up. So we're not talking a lot of money. And in most cases, we're talking about restaurants that have been around and been around and been around and been around. And you think, well, what are these owners doing? They walk in every day and they look at this place and it's a pigsty. It's filthy. They don't think to clean it. The answer is no, they don't. They don't think that, you know, this upholstery that's falling apart is just a terrible reflection. No, they don't. They don't think that a customer waiting 45 minutes to get their food, that's just entirely unacceptable. No, they don't. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't know it's taking 45 minutes. They don't think to check the food that they cook to think, okay, does it look good? Does it taste good? The answer is no, they don't. The outside person comes in and confronts them. Now, granted, there's a big dynamic going on here that absolutely has to kind of be addressed. I mean, the people are receiving a benefit and they're not hiring this. Would they hire these people to come in and make their place over? Many of them, I can tell you flat out, even if they had the money, no, they wouldn't. They'd just die. So there is that dynamic. But the fact of the matter is, how is it that a person, a stranger, can come in for the first time within 60 seconds, lay eyes on a place and tell you the place is filthy, you need to clean this place? Couldn't the owners do that? You're not talking about anything that's going to cost any money. In many cases, a coat of paint may be all that it needs. Well, that's not any big money. It may be headache and it's trouble. In every case, what's interesting to me in these stories, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They can go from one end of the country to the other. And the story is all pretty much the same. There are these basic, fundamental, foundational things that the owners need to be doing that would make a meaningful difference in their business, in their company. But they're spending their time and they're spending their resources in other areas. And that's the point. So as we're sitting around our virtual conference room or our physical conference room, and as we're thinking about all the moving parts and pieces that make up our business, graphic design, website design, copywriting, SEO, audio marketing, video marketing, blogging, content marketing, social media, all of the stuff, all of these moving parts and pieces that make up our business, the fact is we can't dive into all of those at the same time, nor is it smart, in my opinion, for us to shove all of our chips into the table and say, well, social media, that's the hot thing and everybody's talking about it. I'm all in on social media to the exclusion of other things. Rather, I think it's taking the sum total of all of these bags, whatever the bags are and whatever they represent, whatever these tools and these tricks and these techniques and these skill sets are, taking what we know and the people that we have around us, whether they're inside the company or whether they're subbed out, who cares? And we take the sum total of this knowledge, and now we have to assess, as business owners and business leaders, we have to assess where are we going to get the most bang for it? What's going to make the biggest difference right now? Well, in a restaurant, cleanliness is supreme. So when the guy goes into the kitchen and he sees the kitchen is in disarray and he sees that things aren't properly labeled or dated and he sees that the place is just a pigsty, guess what he's doing first? Because nothing else matters. He's checking the quality of the food because nothing else matters. He's checking the speed of service and the politeness of the service because nothing else matters. Because if the location is great, if the menu looks terrific, if the marketing is superb, but the food's bad and the service is bad and the place is not clean, it doesn't matter. What in your business fits the criteria of really mattering? Right now, today. What is it that if you don't do this today, your business suffers? If you don't take care of this today, your business will continue to slide and slide and slide. There's something. There's something. And you can't say, well, there's this, there's that, and there's the other. No, there's something. What are you going to do first? Each one of those shows, Hotel Impossible and Restaurant Impossible, very often you'll see them get this small whiteboard and they'll get the owners and the team together and they'll write 1, 2, 3, and they have these goals. They have these priorities. Okay, first things we're going to do is this. It's not that the list contains only one thing. It may contain five, but they've numbered the five. There is a number one and there is a number five. And they're put in that order because that is the order of importance, and that is also the order of sequence. And you know what's interesting? In nearly every case, you know what the last thing is? Marketing. It's pretty common to see these shows and have five things, and the last thing is marketing. And you think, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, think about this. Just think about this. It does make sense. If you put marketing at the front end and you don't have the other stuff fixed, if service in the restaurant is poor, if timeliness of your order is slow, if the quality of the food is poor, but the marketing effort is there and people are packing into the door, you're not getting anybody twice. Any salesman can tell you anybody can sell something once, but it takes greater skill and greater effort and greater fortitude to sell it again. Lots of people get one sale. Lots of people get one transaction, and then the customer leaves and says, "I will never be back." That's why marketing does not belong in the number one slot. We got to get some other stuff right. I mean, after all, we got to make payroll in 48 hours. There aren't too many marketing initiatives that I've seen that you could take from start to finish in a 48-hour span and knock the cover off a ball. It takes greater thought, greater creativity, and greater focus, and it takes us thinking about all of these things and all the tool bags that are sitting on the conference table and all these people that represent these tool bags who think it's mine. Mine's the answer. But as business owners and business leaders, we've got to take a look at these tools and say, okay, right now, which one do I need? If I go into the doctor and I have a problem, the doctor is not likely to reach first and foremost for a scalpel. He is likely to reach for that little flashlight that they shine in your ears or your throat, or to reach for a stethoscope to listen to my heartbeat. He's likely to reach for those because first things first. So in your business and in my business, we've absolutely positively got to think first things first. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. And alas, I'm outside the Yellow Studio.